Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome. Why am I so cheerful today? I don't know.
Must because be spring. It's spring. Yeah, 60 degrees. Yeah.
So welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm guest co-host Judy Nathans.
That's right. You know, yeah. It's nice
I'm
that
a
we
fill-in.
Have.
I like the feeling. Yeah.
It's good to have. It's always good to have a plan B. This is good.
I'm so busy that I, you know, yeah. No.
Yeah.
That was nice to do. Yeah.
So it is now officially springtime. Yesterday, I was just joking around prior to the city council.
Yeah, I saw
meeting,
that on your site.
Saying spring begins. The equinox is at 5:24 p.m. And 6 minutes later, the city council will
go into their Zoom room.
Head into their Zoom land of Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, so there was this Cambridge City Council meeting last night. Mm-hmm. But not in person.
No.
This one was by design scheduled to be entirely remote in Zoom. Mm-hmm. And the reason pretty clearly was because there were several items on the agenda that related to matters involving Cambridge Police Department, the proposed alternative response model, you know, that goes by the acronym of HART.
Mm-hmm.
And very just basically various things that were police related. And as many of you know, there's been sort of an ongoing protest that has been going on now since in January. So I guess it's 2 months now.
Yes.
Where
January 4th is when it happened.
Yeah, so you know, in the wake of this the officer involved shooting,
they call it a killing.
Well, you know, it's interesting the rhetoric goes around. It's even during public comment, I thought to myself, well, if you actually want to convince city administration to do things that you want, or if you want city councils to come on board along with you, it's not necessarily in your best interest to rhetorically refer to the police murder of somebody, because then you're already basically
killing. I know it you're just basically puts it in a whole different context.
I mean, you're basically declaring that you've already adjudicated the entire matter, and decided this is what it is, in which case you're not actually giving testimony to make any kind of request at that point, you know. So anyway, it is a matter of some significance right at this very moment. I believe over at Cambridge City Hall there was the same group, which is it's not exclusively consisting of, but is organized by an entity that calls itself the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Mm-hmm. But they've been basically recruiting students from various area colleges, interested in changing policing in one form or another.
But it's also the Bangladeshi community of police students.
I think that there's, I think in the initial people who showed up in early January after the incident, I think you saw a lot of people from this Bangladesh community. But since then, when you really look at it, what you're really seeing is there's a lot of just student organizing going on now.
Yes.
You know, and so it's, you know, and it's kind of the Gen Z thing is socialism sells. So they are very willing to trust this group as somehow being informed and helpful and whatever. So, but they had a big crowd over at City Hall, I believe, right now.
There was or did have a meeting with the city manager earlier today.
Right. So they had made it quite clear that their intention was to occupy City Hall. And in response to that, the city has actually installed cameras in all public areas of City Hall now. They went up rather quickly.
Is that going against a surveillance?
They have given assurances that it most certainly does not go against it. It's being declared, but it will certainly have to be part of any future inventory that is reported under the ordinance to the city council.
But, just the fact that I'm glad they're doing it. I think there's places all around the country where there have been such commotions at city council, school committee meetings, where you have to have cameras. Somebody could get killed. I mean, maybe not in Cambridge, but someone could get hurt, you know, and you want to see it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You it's know? It's completely appropriate. It's unfortunate that it's come to this, you know, but it's the modern world. And I guess it's just, we have to accept that this is the way it is. You know, to me, it's completely, I mean, I'm sort of dumbfounded that things would reach the point where this group thinks that they can somehow occupy City Hall, you know, based on.
I'd like to know what, I mean, I know different jurisdictions, different towns and release names and all, but what is the point? What is gained by releasing a name? We go after them? I don't get it. Obviously, there's a person involved in this who is going under a lot of scrutiny and stuff. So why, what is the advantage of releasing the name?
You know, when you read statements from like the mayor, our mayor, who does not agree with the city administration, but I think there may be a little bit more involved in there, basically, maybe even intertwined with questions of changing the charter, where there seems to be some assertion of, wouldn't it be better if we had a strong mayor who could just
controls the police department?
Yeah, who could just sort of do this and have our way. So I think there's a, I mean, I'm just interpreting this perhaps, but I'm not the only one who has said it.
Yeah,
there seems to be a little bit of testing going on there, that's part of that rhetoric, so that you'll see a statement from the city manager, and then the following day, there'll be a statement from the mayor and whatever. Right. I don't know that this is necessarily entirely just to sort of address the situation so much as it is to... question
point out
authority.
That there's systemic problems or whatever. If we had to, I don't know. All I know is that it's unfortunate, and I think they're doing the best they can. But
whole point. I mean, I completely understand why they wanted to prevent even bigger troubles.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you have a moderate sized group that wants to occupy City Hall, would they feel any disinclination toward occupying the front lawn of an
department.
Officer
or
the police department, or going to the home of the officers involved and picketing
and that would get public
harassing them. Yeah.
I know.
And honestly, those would be fundamentally stupid things to do, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if that's what they were choosing to do.
But it's the policy of the police department. I mean, we have policies, and one of them is you don't release the names. I mean, other cities do it differently, but
that's right, and that is the policy. And it's not like it was a long-standing established policy, because this is not something that comes up.
It happens all the time. I know it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I think the commissioner basically said it well, which is that if there was at least initially some compelling evidence of wrongdoing, then they would have actually released the name and been very upfront about that. But the thing is, preliminary findings did not suggest that. Yeah. So they didn't think it was appropriate to basically sort of try somebody in the court of public protest.
So you're saying that maybe, in other words, if there had been a lot of complaints against this particular person, or maybe it was a rogue cop, that maybe they were willing to release the name?
I believe that's exactly what the commissioner said. So that if it was, but it's like it's a judgment call, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you know, and there are certainly cases where everybody knows somebody really went over the top and cut across all standards, all training, and did something fundamentally wrong.
We've seen it. We've seen it.
Exactly.
Horrendous. Yeah.
Right. But
every day there's something today about people gang. I mean, it's just horrendous.
So there's no initial indications of that. It may turn out to be the case that there was wrongdoing, but you know, that's what people have to wait for that, because there are people being very careful.
Right.
You know, in determining these sorts of things. Now, in the meantime, there are certain changes within police department that actually are, you know, we sort of have wanted all along anyway.
Sure.
Like, for example, the use of body cameras.
Body cameras, right. You know? That was one of the agenda items under city manager.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I mean, and I'm sure city councilors can and have complained, well, why didn't we move on this sooner? And you know, I don't know why. Maybe because we just there was no compelling need, even if it was a good idea.
Right.
So now I guess we'll probably all of us except Councilor Zondervan, and some of the protesters who actually feel that body cams are not a good thing.
Why?
You know,
what's their argument?
honestly, I don't really know what their argument against them are, other than, well, I mean, for one thing, if you had body cam evidence right away that kind of showed a justifiable action on it by the police office, that would kind of take a lot of wind out of their sails. So I suppose
isn't it how it's interpreted, though? I'm thinking, I watch a lot of basketball, and so the refs, you know, they go to the monitor and one thinks one thing, and they keep showing it from different views. So who knows? I mean, you could argue that too. So
I think people who think that camera from body cams are absolutely always definitive really have to think again, because it's not always so clear. But at least
it's also
something.
One view. It's not many. It's not like you have ABC or CBS photographing. It's one
exactly.
View. Yeah. Although actually, that's not true, because if there's more than one officer involved,
then there may be more than one camera views. Angle.
Yeah. All right. So
exactly right.
I think
I actually think that that's a good thing. There are other things that I hope come out of this, and I know that they're doing this review from this. What's the entity called?
PERF.
You know, so it's a national organization that actually would, you know, professionally
recommended.
And I believe actually Christine Elo, our police commissioner, last night said they were the ones who basically authored the basically the protocols that they use for their trainings and things currently.
One reason why I think Quentin didn't like it, because I think he probably saw them as too established or whatever.
And there was certainly some of the rhetoric in the press, that if you want to call it the press, it was sort of leaning in that way as well.
Oh, really? What press? Yeah. Any people have commented
But you know, that's one of the problems. It's sort of like cheating on your lab reports. You know, if you start with a conclusion and then you fit your rhetoric and your justifications in order to prove your conclusion.
You're not talking about the Joan Benacci article, are you? Because I saw that you commented on that.
I did. I didn't like her at all. Yeah.
I generally like her, but I felt like she doesn't know everything.
Well, you know, that's one of the problems that can happen with reporters who are not particularly.
She's not a reporter. She's an opinion
writer. But what happens is somebody drops a dime.
Right. And they look into it
There was one Boston Globe opinion writer some years ago who, back when there was some big controversy in Central Square, who wrote this sort of scathing article.
About homeless.
And then I remember, because she was there, at the meeting, and the only people who were talking to her were people who were really radicalized. And at one point I turned at her and scowled at her, and she flipped me the bird.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. I was very pleased to see about 2 years later, she got canned from her job with the Boston Globe.
Oh wow.
You know, I don't actually even remember her name now, but
I think I know what you're talking about, but
my whole point is that sometimes an opinion writer or even a reporter goes in there and basically is just getting fed information from a particular group, so they, you know, and
they don't have to be balanced, because it's
they're not obliged to be balanced, exactly. And I think that's kind of what you're sort of seeing. Sometimes some rather naive young Harvard Crimson reporters give account of things, and they're kind of like what, you know. I just think it's kind of unfortunate. Now, other things that are not yet part of any reports or any city council orders, or maybe peripherally they were, you know, is that there is this question of having, I guess you call them non-lethal means at your disposal whenever there's an incident. It has been explained to me that it is not so easy to do that, you know, because by the time you've packed on your service weapon, the taser,
it's a lot of equipment,
beanbag, this, that, you're already packing 30 pounds worth of stuff.
Now
you should carry like a circus net so you can throw it over somebody's running
at you. But I would like to know why a taser could not be used instead of a street sponge.
You know, I think it might have been.
I mean, they can be. They can do damage, but at least they do.
Well,
the
Well, not they don't necessarily stop a person.
And I thought it's like an electric shock.
It is, and you know, and as long as you, I mean, as long as you deploy it exactly right, but it doesn't always stop the person. And so it's,
I think in this case, it probably would have, because he's
in this particular, yeah. Right. In this particular case, the person was shirtless. And, you know, and
or
it was
a big mattress. Like I told you, I did that once with the
right.
patient.
But right.
I know, but, this is all after the thought.
The problem is that, you know, they don't have a big mattress that are sitting there. Right. But, and I don't know what the answers are. I will be pleased to read whatever kind of possible recommendations come out of this.
I apologize for laughing if people think I'm not taking it seriously.
No, I think we're all taking it very seriously.
I know, but I feel like everything I say, I have to be careful.
In Cambridge these days, believe me, I know you can say something offhandedly and then, you know, develop an enemy who will be after you for the rest of your life. So
yeah, I know.
What the hell, right? You know, I water off a duck's back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're sort of a public figure.
We're opinion people. I mean, we're
opinions. And they're always going to
on facts, hopefully.
Yeah, and they're always going to be jackasses out there who are sort of going to just go at you because they can. So you live with it, right? It's not a big deal. But you know, may be some other things that we're not yet even speaking that about that maybe alternatives. Right. You know, another thing.
Speaking of alternatives, well, that's the other piece of this.
Right. Well, the other thing too is that, and I would if I was there and could ask all the questions, I would ask, what are the possible changes in protocols when you're talking about a person wielding a knife, even if it's a big mean knife, versus a firearm? You know, because firearms,
it's still
I know, but the thing is that firearm, you can kill somebody from a distance. With a knife, you still have to have some proximity, so there may be things
you could throw
like
it. Could throw a knife.
You could throw a knife, true, but you know the ability to evade may be more, in other words, protect the surroundings. If there's a kindergarten next door, you make sure nobody goes near that.
Well, there was a daycare center next.
I know.
Was a child care center next to where this happened.
Exactly, and which really complicates things, right?
Exactly. I'm
presuming that when by the time this analysis and report comes back, they'll say, well, I'm kind of pretty confident they'll say, you know, the Cambridge Police Department has actually been doing pretty well. They've been way ahead of most police departments, but here are a few good ideas and a few good suggestions.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
And I think there are people within the police department who will go, oh, that's actually a pretty good idea. Let's try that. Let's put that in our, our bag of options. And, let's be clear, the police officer involved shootings in Cambridge are rarer than city charters. We have had four city charters in the history of Cambridge, and I believe we've had four officer involved shootings in the last century or something. So it's a real rarity. And I think the fact that it's such a rarity probably means we're probably spending maybe putting more emphasis on this. I mean, I'm not in any way trying to diminish the importance of the topic, but you know, when you actually look at the reality, we're talking about a complete anomaly here.
So, I know. I think not a bottom line, but the reality is that police do wear uniforms. They carry a lot of equipment and they carry a gun, and that gun is always on them. And I think that the idea of an armed force in your community, especially as younger people, I think that's what is setting a lot of people off. And they could be the nicest people and they do the nicest things, but they still have to carry that equipment. So I think the idea of having an alternative response team, which they do to some little extent now, but now they're expanding it with the community safety and maybe contracting in addition to HART, and that's a whole other thing that to go through.
Well,
it's a good idea. In other words, you respond and you have backup, but you have to work with the police. And I think, again, Mark brought that up again with his remarks and brought up CAHOOTS again, which is always, of course, they've been around for over 30 years. They work with the police. And I think that's the big point that has to be dealt with HART and the city, which they say they're working on, but there's got to be, you know, that's the
you know, I
point,
think
right?
Most people I'm going to go out on a small limb here and suggest even most people within the Cambridge Police Department are perfectly comfortable with the concept of having alternative police response and having.
Absolutely. They don't want to go. They don't have to deal with a lot of these mental. I mean, they've said that.
Right.
But they say that across the country in many places.
But at least the Cambridge police who I talk to also take their job very seriously.
Absolutely.
And they say they do not want people going into positions of where they're putting themselves in jeopardy.
You know, like a good example, and it's happened where police have been killed, is domestic dispute calls. Now, how do you deal with that?
Right. And my brother,
especially when you don't know if there's a weapon in the house.
Right. My brother is a police officer in New York City. Mm-hmm. Was. Yeah. He's retired now. But he said, and you can ask any police officer, says the potentially the most scary and dangerous call you're going to get for the most part is domestic calls.
Exactly. And exactly.
Think you're doing everything exactly right.
Right.
And defending somebody, that very person you're defending may be the person who then comes at you with a weapon because you're intervening with a spouse, and then loyalty to a spouse, even an abusive.
Well, that's one situation, but often it's when they barricade themselves or they can't get in or they don't know it's, and then they open and they shoot right out. I mean, they don't even get that.
That's
far.
Right.
I mean, it's tricky.
And they don't necessarily know the interior of the building, the layout or anything like that. So there is far more, far many more unknowns and potential dangers in those types of calls than most.
Right.
So, you know, so that's why I do find some of the rhetoric that you hear about alternative police response that makes it all sound as though, well, we're just going to send a bunch of nice community people in to go and have a nice little quiet conversation or whatever.
The way I get it is that it seems like, and I think Mark brought this up too, is that in the end, it's going to be people that don't trust the police that will call HART.
You know, I'm a little concerned that we may very well, if we, to whatever degree we go down this road,
systems,
that we basically end up with like two parallel police departments or responses.
Well, you couldn't call it, they're not police departments, two parallel response teams.
Right. But I mean, I heard that even in the wake of this incident in January, that people who were advocates for HART were actually going around and basically posting their phone numbers saying, don't call the police, call us. And so they were already, even before there was any official connection with the city, they were presenting themselves essentially as a parallel police department.
I know. And yet
not police.
But in some of what was said last night was that they themselves have said they're not going to be fully, ready till September. So what's the good of calling them now? You know, it's just, it's very confusing. And I think you don't want it to be confusing to the public, and you want a clear message to the public. And I think that's what the city's working on. So,
well, I hope they can kind of figure something out here. I will say my own opinion when I even, you can hear 40 people show up at public comment talking about how marvelously trained and, ready to go the particular people who are affiliated with this HART program, and they've had 500 hours of training. And I'm thinking to myself, well, is that 500 total of everybody involved? I'm not in the slightest way convinced that this particular group has adequate training in the measure that they seem to be claiming.
Well, you know what? I think if they get a contract, I would hope that whoever awards a contract to them will vet this. We'll figure it out.
Right.
We'll interview the people on this on their staff.
Right. You know, and let's hope something like that shakes out. Again, I think it's not that people, including myself, are opposed to having alternatives to uniform police, but I do think you have to ensure the safety of the responder.
Right. And I will bring up, I mean, this has been brought up, that in cahoots, the partner, I mean, maybe it's changed, was the White Bird Clinic. In other words, it was an established clinic with trained social workers, blah, 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 So where HART is, to commend them, they're trying to do it from scratch, but I don't know what that training is involved. They've only been around for a year and a half. So I don't know. I'm just saying, and in Paul Toner's letter, I mean, and Simmons' there could be another entity that say, hey, we want to get in on this. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, certainly just from a public process point of view, I think they at least have to make sure it's done.
Exactly. Are they the square. Best out there to contract services to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
okay. So, all right. So let's finish up this segment with what are we just going to, is there anything more to say about that? I guess.
I don't think there really is. I mean, as I say, there are people protesting it now. Having to do with the Faisal killing, yeah. But I think that that it is just the nature of protests this way, that to whatever degree they, I mean, and it is unfortunate to have to say this, but to whatever degree the city manager then has a meeting with them, yeah. If they are in fact going in there, having already decided that they are going to be dissatisfied with what the manager has to say, they have now become empowered to say that by doing what we do and shutting things down, we get lots of attention and we get, you know, we are now respected as a force to be reckoned with.
You know what?
And then it may only get worse.
Yeah, but you know, they're just the entity. And meanwhile, the city has been meeting with a lot of the hard people. So I think that they can't say they haven't been doing that stuff. So I think this other group, they don't have any cachet really in this community, right? I mean, they're not right. I just feel like that's not.
I know.
I mean, they'll be listened to and they'll be said, this is what we're doing. And if they don't like it, so no, I'm protesting.
I've witnessed more than my share of protest movements in Cambridge where 6 months after the fact, they just basically just dried up and blew away.
Well, they went back home or they graduated or
right.
They,
whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So whether it was the big protests over the Holmes Project in Central Square 20 plus years ago, within a few years, none of those people were anywhere to be seen. So, may be the case, So now I don't know. I mean, some of the proponents of HART also have a little bit of a track record of being rhetorically very anti-police. And
navigating that's tempered. And I think there's been some separation between what's going on with this group and them. And I think even Kathy.
All right. So we're going to have to take a break here.
Okay. But we'll
be
see
back
in the next segment. All right.
3 minutes. It's Cambridge Inside Out.
All right. Bye.